this show, you'll find inspiration, motivation, and advice from experts, as well as valuable tips on how to get started or improve your business. Let's dive into how you can begin and grow your wisdom business. Inspiring others looks different for everyone. How will you inspire? Welcome to podcast today with The Wise Dome. We are chatting with Eva Rado. Welcome.
Thank you. Lovely to be here.
Oh, lovely. I'm excited to chat with you. Please do share with us who you are and what you do and why we are here today chatting.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you said, my name is Eva Rado. I have been in all sorts of worked in all sorts of fields. I started in corporate. I'm actually a trained engineer, which surprises most people. But my current passion is working with mums who are entrepreneurs. And I support them to turn the household management into a household responsibility so that they can free up their headspace, their energy, and find the time that they need to work on their business with a single-minded focus. I've been through a similar journey myself where I gave up my corporate life to be a mum and to be able to be at home and available for my kids. Yep. But our modern lifestyle requires that mum has to also earn an income. And it's wonderful that we live in a time where that's been afforded to us by the fights and struggles of suffragette foremothers that came before us. Mm. But there's still a preconceived gender bias in society, and I certainly took that on quite subconsciously where I just started to be the everything for everyone all of the time.
Yeah, under the house, yeah.
Yeah, so I was, you know, running a business, raising children, managing a house, organising everything for everyone all the time, and my business actually started to feel like the neglected third child. And then I had that whole experience of people seeing my business as just like a hobby because it wasn't as successful as I knew it could be.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then that just meant that it was easier for them to negate what it is that I was trying to achieve and also make it not as important as what they were doing, and therefore I was dispensable to be their PA or their family organizer or, you know, all of that sort of thing. What actually happened was that I ended up in burnout just trying to be it all for everyone all of the time, including myself, like for myself.
Yeah.
And I realized that things had to change, that this really wasn't sustainable anymore. Yeah. And so through that journey of crawling back out of the burnout and learning new ways of doing things and new ways to be a mum and to be a house, you know, to manage the house and to actually have the energy to build a successful business, I realised that this is something that was missing in our modern society. And so that's why I started doing the work that I do.
Well, I think that's a pretty good niche, like not even a niche. It's a pretty good market to penetrate because it's a big one. Yes. And you know what? I think that's amazing. The fact that, you know, you've taken what you've learned in that regard, but just seeing there's so many of us that need that assistance in that area too, and just sort of guidance and sort of, it's almost like a check-in.
Yes.
In a way, just to keep checking in, going, hang on a minute, don't fall down that trap, you know.
Yeah, very much. And it is a trap because it's genetically embedded in us. Like, you know, mum is always carer, always has been. And, you know, dad is the provider. And that's just the preconception that we have in our society. It's very easy, even if we consciously have the conversations or set things up or try to change it. We just revert back to that because it's what's kept our society has safe for generations, you know, millennia. That's, you know, that's right back to cave times. That's
yeah. Oh, we're just more organized, really. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. So you discovered the pain and the need, purpose and so forth that you wanted to sort of direct into.
What were the next steps that you went through to sort of say, okay, I'm going to coach people, or I'm going to support people with, you know, guides, etc.?
Yeah.
How did you organize all of that in your head?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am quite fortunate in that, having given up corporate 20 odd years ago, yeah, I've had a lot of experience in different businesses and different guises. I actually went straight from my engineering job into party plan business.
Oh, wow. And,
yeah. And I had a lot of really good training. I ended up very high up, like, you know, in the top 20 managers across, top 15 managers across the country or something, in that business, and had great support. And that gave me a really good understanding and founding for business, but also dealing with people and training people and recruiting people and managing people and that kind of thing. So I kind of come from this other world background of supporting people and training people and coaching people. When I was coming out of the burnout and working out what was going to work in our house, I was finding I was having a lot of conversations with other mums, friends, colleagues, business buddies, you know, family, other people. And and in those conversations, just by sharing what it is that I was doing and trying and the results I was having and seeing and giving them the opportunity, I mean, that's really what coaching is. I was just giving my friends the opportunity to try on what I was doing or had found worked or hadn't, or to look at it in a different way, why it wasn't working, what it is that I'd tried before and what they were still trying, as an example. And so I suppose for me it was just a really natural progression to go from what I had always, what I had been doing for, you know, many, many years, through my own personal experience, having conversations with people about how I was managing through that, and then seeing that, you know, there was a real need and that I was able to also fill it, that, you know, the way I was able to explain what I was doing and talk about big picture and the small sort of actions that people could take was making a real difference in homes of people I, you know, held near and dear. So why not share that with the world?
Yeah, and they were getting it.
They were getting it. That was, yeah, you're right, Nikki. That was a really big thing, because it's one thing for me to have known it was working, and it's another thing for me to tell people it's working. But to see the results that people were actually getting it because of how I was explaining it, that I actually could coach this, was really empowering.
Yeah, and I was actually going to ask you, like, the feeling you get when you know someone just gets it. And look, not every coach is going to work with every client.
Right, of course.
Like, you've got to get some sort of, you know, connection there in some way. But I think a lot of the time, you know, when that ball just starts rolling and things are just molding and just getting perfect and perfect, and you see the results coming through because it's coming from your perspective. You've seen it before, you know what to look out for, but they don't.
Yes.
It's like this whole moment, isn't it? Like, how does it make you feel when you're going through that?
Yeah, it's an absolute, it's heartwarming. Like, there's not, it just puts a smile on my face. It just makes me, and it's really interesting because it, unlike any other work I've done or any other business that I've had, this is at a level that it's not about my own ego. Like, it's not about building me and like that, oh, I've got it and I know what I'm doing. It's the change that I'm seeing that it's making for them in their homes, and knowing the ripple effect that that's going to have for the world.
It just
boosts me and just encourages me to just keep doing the work and keep putting out the message and keep talking about the things that actually matter. You know, for people in their homes and what's going to make an actual difference for them, their family, and for future generations. I mean, you know, the number of kids that are growing up, are able now to grow up in homes where mum isn't everything for everyone, but that it's a real community that the home operates and runs such that everyone has an important role to play, and doesn't, there doesn't need to be micromanagement. There doesn't need to be, a police mum, you know, present, all of
that. It's trust, and it's building trust within the family, isn't it? To say, you know what, I trust that you can complete these things. You can support these things. It's just, it's that whole, you know, it's a huge ripple effect on many levels.
Yeah, it creates such a sense of compassion and confidence and consideration. And that's really what we want as mums. We walk around going, why can't they just help me? You know, I just want them to support me. They don't understand what I do for them. But that's not actually what we want. What we really want is the connection with human beings who understand us, who consider us. And so when we can adjust the way that we're being in and let go of that preconditioned, gender bias of what mum means, and they give them the space to step in to actually be the person we really don't even realise that that's what we want from them, but that they can be that person. The connection that we have then with our own family, with ourselves, and what our kids will grow up to take into their adult homes, that is, for me, that's the whole reason of what I do. And you know, we started this bit of the conversation with you asked, how does it feel when, you know, I see it's working? That's what it just reminds me of. That's where I get my energy boost. I've seen my client's face light up when she reports back to me that she took on one little action and the huge difference it made to her week, and her state of well-being and all of that.
So those little one percenters. Those little 1% that they say. obviously, yes, you know, your background and your understanding of processes and everything like that, being an engineer, you know, having that brain power, as I would call it, that's, you know, and translating that genius into other areas, I think is something that I would love to touch on in this particular stage, because look, I come from, you know, my background is in interiors, product development and so forth. And then all of a sudden I've created a SaaS platform. You know, it's just, it's education. It's completely different. Not completely different. There's a common thread throughout all of it. But, you know, sharing with our audience today how you have gone from doing what you did and then obviously going into, like you said, party planning and et cetera, like that thread. Can you share with our audience today how you might have tapped into that thread to discover that this is exactly really, I know I have a knack for this. You know, you knew what the problem was.
Yes.
And you knew that there was a need for, you know, people needing to fix that problem. But how did you work out where your common thread was to help them, to guide them?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. So,
skills, like in the sense of skill set.
Yes, absolutely. So we sort of already touched on sort of the coaching training side of things, and I got a huge amount of training doing the party plan, but I also, both my parents were teachers, and so I was raised in a home where teaching is just the way things are.
We communicate,
And I've often right through from sort of my teenagehood, people have said to me, you should be a teacher. Like, you know, there's something in me that just has that ability to absorb information, process it, and deliver it back in a way that is engaging and makes sense and is actionable. And I don't know how much of it is nurture or nature and how much, but it's just something that I have always been able to do.
Well, that's the exact answer right there. It was the environment you were brought up in.
It was very much the environment.
That's the narrative right there.
The environments I found myself or moved myself into through my adulthood. But on top of that, I'm also a very organized person.
Yeah.
So that's like one of my superpowers always has been. And I'm one of those people who moving back to organization is one of my, fill my bucket, fill my cup. If things are falling apart, I'll pull out a drawer and completely reorganize it. And then just walking past and looking at it for the next 3 days makes me feel calm again, right? And you know, we can discuss about how much I need a sense of control, and that's what it is, and how much it's just that
control freak.
No. Yeah, how much I'm a control freak, and I did go through a phase where I was completely a control freak. But it's not so much. Or I've done a fair bit of exploring in this area too, and I don't think it's so much that, because it's not an all my whole world thing. It's something I use as a, you know, when things aren't going well, I can go for a walk, I can watch a movie, I can call a friend, I can organise a draw. Like, it's just one of those things that is in my bucket of tools.
Yeah.
But that's also translated right through my working life in terms of, particularly when it comes to running businesses, all the different moving parts and being able to actually organise them and see them as a, you know, exactly how they fit together, what needs to happen and when it needs to happen. Yeah. And so both from a perspective of running now another business myself and how to grow that from, like you said, having the idea, knowing, seeing that there's a need, seeing that I have the ability to help people, how do I then get that out there to the world so that people know that I'm here to help them from that perspective, but also the actual work that I do with other mums, being able to actually see inside the system that is or isn't working for them, the structure that they need in their house. And then one of the big shifts in the work that I do is in the way that we communicate in the home, and opening up for collaborative communication as opposed to the whole, this isn't working, I've got the fix, this is what we do, you're all going to get on board kind of communication. Yeah. it's me, I've got the answer, and you all have to just go along.
Yeah, follow.
But even from a being organized, how to adjust that communication, I see that as part of that thread question that you asked, that, you know, combining my, you know, my coaching skills, my teaching skills with my, you know, being organized superpower, that how I am able to have the clients I work with understand how to adjust that communication and the small steps and the things to say different and the way to engage with their family away from the screen with me, away from their time with me, is certainly all part of that process and that story of where I've been and where I've come from.
Yeah. And you know what? It's you know, we always... I hate bringing up COVID all the time, but, you know, it is something that did change our work environments and everything like that. And I think that was one of the big turning points for a number of people to realize that you can work anywhere. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is all of a sudden, you know, you're working in teams, possibly a lot of people working in teams, in offices and so forth.
Yep.
You're bringing that team environment. You've got to work in a team to deliver a project, to deliver an outcome, whatever it is.
Yes. Yeah.
And with respect to home, you have to do the same thing. So those skills, the communication skills are huge. And sometimes we sort of go, okay, this is my work hat. I'm at work, come home, take off the work hat. And that whole team thing just goes, scats. It's just like all of a sudden becomes this hierarchy because that's how we were brought up. And it's like, you know, mum and dad tell us what to do, we just follow. But I think these days, especially with COVID, the kids seeing how we all work together, if you had children around you and all the rest of it, they see how you're working, and it became this, okay, we've just got to work together. We just have to make this work, you know, with work and home and everything. And bringing that into the home now, integrating that and making that awareness of both parents or one parent, whoever it is, you know, just knowing that when you're at home, it's a team thing. And I think, that whole just team building. Yeah, it probably just comes down to that, isn't it? It's like bringing out that whole team building. But you know, there's a bit of an age difference there. So, like, you know,
There is. And there's one thing that, I mean, we're still the parent, right? Yeah, and we still have to be aware that, you know,
that lead.
Different kids and different personalities in home have different capabilities. But that's, like you're saying, it's very much how we operate in work. And those of us who run our own businesses, you know, when you start hiring staff or taking on VAs, whatever, we are very much able to communicate our why for our business, our reason for what we do, the importance of connecting with our ideal client, and then sharing the information, creating the environment and stepping back and letting those people do their job. And then we go home and we, you know, talk to Miss Eight and we're like, no, you're eight. You should be able to unload the dishwasher. And, you know, instead of operating in the same way that, you know, this is the project. This is why we are, you know, doing what we're doing. This is the environment, and I trust you. You're able to do it. Go ahead and do it. And we don't step back. So we still operate as micromanagers. You know, I often talk to the mums I work with that, you know, we go from being slave mum to police mum when we look for like the quick fixes and we put up chore charts and, you know, everyone's going to do their thing and rewards and all we end up doing is becoming, you know, the police mum trying to manage that system. And then we've been doing that, we're micromanaging, and what we really want is to step back and be the household CEO.
Yeah. I like that. The household CEO. I like that one.
Yeah. And putting in those terms is often makes it a lot easier for mums to kind of really, especially those who run their own business, because it is, you can do it. You are able to do it. There's just something in the dynamic in the home and in your preconceived ideas of what your role is that you need to, you know, move through and work through and let go of.
Yeah. Eva, that's actually, I'm loving this conversation. I want to sort of touch on with respect to the boring stuff. It's not boring. It's actually, I find it quite fun because I'm a process girl as well. But when you came across, you know, working with your clients, have you changed along the way? Was there a particular way that you corresponded, built up, you know, how many times did you meet? How did you meet? And have you changed that along the way as you've sort of progressed with your business?
So the short answer is no, it's grown very naturally. It's not like an actual
plan.
Yeah. So I started this very much under the lean business build process. So
as we all do.
Sorry?
As we all do, very lean.
Yeah, as we all do, exactly. it's not like I had, you know, funds to build a business and do anything really costly in terms of marketing or anything like that. But I was also, still, as I was moving towards doing this work, I was still actually very conscious of proving to myself all the things we've already talked about, that it's needed, that I can make a difference, that the system that's all the processes or the things that have worked for me in my home with my family are fairly universal, that I can share them, that I can, you know. And also I am very conscious that every family is different, every set dynamic. Of dynamics is different. And so I can see there'll be a time where I will do some sort of bigger group program type things or, you know, but I'm still very passionate and interested in making sure it works for you in your home.
Yeah.
So
you're very close one-on-one working.
Very, very close one-on-one. Exactly. Yeah. And that is because I've tried all of the templates, blanket fixes, you know, and
very generic,
and they
stuff,
just are Band-Aids and it's, they don't work. And this is really about making the transition that works for you with your family in your home, regardless of, you know, whatever difficulties in terms of, you know, age, development, understandings, capabilities, work scenarios, you know, whether you're, you know, your husband is away out of state for four nights of the week every week, or whether you know he's working from home and in your space all the time. Like, so I started with the concept of I just want to work and make differences for people that actually matter, not more Band-Aid fixes.
Yeah.
And so I just started with working with people one-on-one, and through that I just worked out the kind of different programs or structures that work. So, you know, some people it's a one-on-one, a one-off session. That can sometimes lead into a forced session, sort of one area, look at one area. And then I have a 6-month program that I run with you one-on-one to really just turn
So you do keep it with a particular program. It's not just a continuous sort of session.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
You know, you brought up a really good point too, because sometimes when it comes to coaching, there are things that you can put out there like courses or, you know, templates and things like that, and they're not going to be the complete fix for some people.
Yeah.
And I think that is something to sort of make mention of, is that, you know, when it comes to coaching, it's not the same as teaching a course or sharing a lead magnet, you know, a template, whatever it is. It's not the same, because it is very much so orientated around who you are coaching, because it's a bouncing off situation, bounce, bounce, bounce. How would you see the difference between a one-on-one coaching and a one-to-many coaching?
In a very general term, the one-to-many, the one-to-many is quite generic.
Yeah.
You know, like, and even in the work that I do, there are some generic parts to it that, you know, as a society, we all need to start to let go of the mummy martyrdom. We need to look at, you know, moving past Band-Aid fixes, and a lot of that stuff is, that's the standard.
Yeah.
But the one-on-one allows me to really look at, especially in the longer term packages, in the week to week, giving, you know, you space to put in some actions, try some things, and come back and say, look, that actually didn't work with Mr. 12, you know, Mr. 14 took it, and Miss 11 took it, and my husband gets it. But, you know, that one, he's really resistant. And then that's the part I love, is to actually delve in and help mums to find a way to communicate that actually opens the connection, so that you can understand each person in the house, their abilities, difficulties, interests, capabilities, and that they feel heard and understood in a way that makes them want to take part in the household management and want to step up and consider what everyone else in the house needs, because they feel considered. And that's something I don't imagine I'll be able to do in a group program.
It's all about communications coaching, isn't it? It's dependent on those who are being communicated with.
Yes, exactly.
So that is a very serious sort of element of the one-on-one, and obviously one-to-many, like my perspective of one-to-many coaching, like you can still, there is that sort of baseline
of
information that you're sharing, which is more that processes side. I think when the one-to-many coaching steps in or kicks into the whole, you know, if there's a program where it's one-to-many, it is more of that interactive moment where it's questions, answers, but that community, like that whole cohort being able to hear what their issues are and so forth, can feed off that. So that's sort of like a, you know, it becomes a blanket in a sense, but some people might need to hear someone else ask that question for them to trigger off. So I think that's a good perspective on the one-to-many as well. And I think, you know, that is obviously an area that, as I think you mentioned, that you might go into anyway, like build into that area too.
Yes.
I think it's fantastic. Now, you've been amazing to talk to today, Eva, absolutely amazing. And I'm picking up on a number of things that I should take care of as well. But I do want to ask you, you know, what one tip do you think you can offer anyone out there with respect to two things? One, what you do. So one tip for anyone out there as mums trying to, like, CEO of their home, and anyone who might be looking to venture into the world of coaching directly in this particular sort of.
Yeah. So I think I'll answer the second part first.
Yeah.
So I think if it's something, it's got to be something you're called to.
Mm.
If I don't feel like this work is the kind of, or this coaching work is the kind of thing that you can sit and go, oh, I needed a job. Oh, coaching seems to be good. Oh, what can I do? I'll just coach in the area of health and fitness. Like, I don't see people that do that having success.
You might be fantastic in coaching in health and fitness, but coaching might not be the
might not be your thing. Exactly.
So
two ways. So first of all, just because you're, you know, really passionate and understand a certain topic doesn't mean that you should be coaching in it. And just because you've decided that you should be coaching doesn't mean that, like, picking up any topic is going to work.
Yeah.
So both ways.
Both sides.
I really feel, and having been through a number of different business guises in the 20 years since I left corporate and, you know, trying different things, it's got to come, coaching in particular has to come from your heart. It has to come from you knowing that you have something that's going to make a difference to even one person's life, and feeling confident in yourself that you are able to communicate it in a way that's going to make the difference.
Yeah.
So anybody that is thinking that they would, you know, like to step towards this this world, this coaching world, I really would encourage you to spend a lot of time soul searching in terms of, you know, who you are, how you operate, how you communicate, how you share messaging, you know, how you share messages with the world in general. Just, you know, when you're out to dinner with friends, how much of a conversation are you part of? How much are you just, you know, small talking, and how much are you actually taking stuff in and listening to what people are saying, and giving them advice or ideas, or, you know, because some of us do that more than others.
Yeah, yeah.
But then also, what is it that you want to make a difference to in the world, and is it okay if you can only help one person?
Yeah.
Because if it's not okay that you can only help one person, this is not the work for you.
Yeah.
So
that is a really good answer. I like that.
Yeah, thank you. And in terms of the work that I do, if I could leave just mums with one message today, that is, stop asking them to help you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want their help. It implies that it's your job. It implies that you're not capable without them stepping up. And it implies that it can only be done the way that you want it to be done.
Yeah.
It doesn't lighten your mental load one bit.
Yeah.
We are very, very good at helping our young children to grow and develop into a new skill. So, you know, we'll put their training wheels on the bike, we'll go with them out 100 times, we'll take the training wheels off, we'll hold the back of the seat, we'll walk with them, and then we'll let go a little bit, and we let go a little bit, and then we've got our hand there, we're not even holding, and they don't realize, and we go like that for 100 meters, and then we stand still with our hand there, and they've gone, and after, you know, 30 seconds they turn around and realize we're not there. We're really good at developing that.
Yeah.
When it comes to doing the tasks around the house, we still take on that it's our job and we know how to do it, so we don't actually teach them to do it.
Yeah.
We ask them to help us to do it.
Mm.
And then we get ourselves to a point where we're frustrated and, you know, they're turning eight and we're looking up and Googling, you know, chores that eight-year-olds can do, and it says, oh, they can make their own bed. And so you give them the bedding, you say, go make your bed, and they've never taken a sheet off or put a sheet on the bed before, right? Yeah. And then we get more angry and frustrated and we go in and we just do it for them again, right?
We're not teaching them the skills.
We're not teaching them the skills, and we're asking them to help us instead of giving them the space to step into the responsibility. So it goes hand in hand.
You're coaching mothers to be coaches.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And we've got to go back to that, you know, watch me do it with me.
Yeah.
I'll support you doing it.
Yeah.
Now you go and do it by yourself. Yeah, off you go. Yeah. And then we don't need to ask for help. So it's
it's like when you ask them for help, it's all of a sudden they have this thing that's like, oh, it's a chore. It's I've got to do this. Whereas if you make it as if it's a skill, this is something you're going to love and enjoy, Then
and and it's not even a question of, so, you know, when the kids were really little, I would say, and I needed to get the dishwasher unloaded, but they, you know, were still too little to be left on their own. I'd say, come and help mummy unload the dishwasher, and I'd give them one plastic bowl. Yeah. And while they toddled around and pulled all the plastic bowls out and put it, I would unload the whole dishwasher, yeah. And then I'd put the drawer back together, you know, the plastics drawer back together, and yeah. They'd helped mummy. And yeah. Under the guise of that, I'm going to step them into some responsibility around the house, right?
Yeah.
And then they get older and you say, you need to help unload the dishwasher, right? Or help me unload the dishwasher, instead of saying, can I help you unload the dishwasher?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Instead of making it that it's their job, you know, it's help me make dinner. No, I'm going to be your sous chef tonight.
Mm.
You're the chef. I'm the sous chef. What do you want me to put in the salad?
I love that. I love that.
Right? It's not about them helping me. It's not my job.
Mm.
It's something that just has to happen and we all have to do it, and not one person needs help from everyone else. Yeah. Everyone needs to help and support everyone else.
Yeah.
So that'd be my number one. Don't ask them for help. Stop asking them for help. Find a different way to communicate what you need them to do.
We're wrapping this up, but I do want to ask all questions.
Yes.
I remember, like, I've always gone down the path of, and I don't do it all the time, but it is a sort of thing in my head where I say, like, to my little one, this 12-year-old, that, you know, oh, you whip cream, you're awesome at whipping cream. Can you do the whipping cream, please? You know, or, you know, things like that when we're having pancakes or whatever.
So
she's like, I'll take that on. Yep. Everyone, she knows if we're going to do, she's there straight away. She does the pet.
Perfect.
That's how I do it. Is that still okay to do that?
Yeah. That's perfect. That's perfect. Yeah, okay. Particularly at that age, because she's still young enough that she needs the praise.
Yeah.
And you are still, anything like that that makes it like it's not a chore. So you haven't asked her to help you. Can you help me by whipping your cream? You know, that makes it like it's a burden.
Yeah,
but when you're providing a space for her to step into her own confidence and self-worth, that is perfect.
Okay, cool.
You know, so, yeah.
I'm going to be telling them tonight, you're all fantastic at doing the beds. I love it. Keep going.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that, and as they get older, so my kids are now in their mid-teens, one of the things I learned in the last few years is to really just verbalise and say, I trust you.
Yeah.
I trust you, and to step back and let them make a choice.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I trust you, and it makes such a difference, even from the perspective of being safe in the world, and you know when they're out and about, that they know that mum trusts them, whether it's with changing the bedding, unloading the dishwasher, whipping the cream, or making the right choice at the party. You know.
Yeah. Yes. Spot on. Love it. Yeah. Is there any offer that you'd like to share with our audience today?
Oh, look, absolutely. I have a free downloadable booklet which is got some really interesting questions in it for the mums that just are interested in this but just have no idea where to start. And it's one of the things I hear a lot is, yeah, that all sounds fantastic. That'd be wonderful, but what it's a dream world and how would I even begin?
Where do I start?
Where do I even start? So it's a booklet that just takes you through a process of doing some reflective journaling work, answering a few questions to kind of really just get a sense of where your house is at, where you would like it to be, and to just get a sense of what is the first steps. So, yes.
No, thank you so much for that, Eva. And I do ask my guests this, and I'd like to ask you, what legacy are you looking to leave?
Oh.
You touched on it a little bit.
Sorry?
You touched on it before a little bit.
Yeah, I did. So, people think that the last part of feminism is pay equality, that's what we've got left to do. But feminism was never about equality, and it was never about gender. It was about fairness in the world. And the world is really hurting at the moment, and I believe that the world can be healed when we start to treat each other fairly in the home. So what I would love to see is that in generations to come, it's not about the title, whether you're mum or dad. It's not about your gender. It's not about whether you're the stay-at-home parent or you're the going out and working parent. It doesn't matter if if you're the business, you know, running your own business or running employed by three different people in different jobs in the future, I'd love to see a world where in our homes we treat each other with consideration and compassion and understanding that we are all responsible for every other human being.
Mm.
And I dream of a world where the ripple effect of that is felt right through our politics and our borders and everything. I think that's what's going to heal the world.
Yeah. Oh, Eva, that is beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And I think it is possible too. I think, you know, there is, you know, it's like the 1%ers.
That's exactly.
Every little bit helps. So thank you again, Eva, for everything. The conversation has been amazing with you today. You're absolutely awesome to talk to.
Thank you.
And sparked a whole lot of little triggers there in my head going,
Yeah, good. Excellent.
I really appreciate it. All of the details of Eva's booklet and everything will be in our podcast summary below. Don't forget to subscribe and do remember to leave us feedback if you can as well, because every bit helps. Again, Eva, thank you so much for your time.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much for the opportunity today. Thanks, Vicky.
Anytime.
Thanking our sponsors today and every episode that we do go live with, Wisdome and the Wisdom on Wisdome events. Be sure to check out details in our summary below. Wisdome is our learning and content management platform for anyone who is sharing their content online through memberships, courses, challenges, creating a community and engaging with their members. All details, like I said, are below in our summary.
Thanks for listening to the Wisdome podcast. If you enjoyed and have been inspired by this episode and you'd like to support the podcast, do subscribe and please share it with others. Post about us on social media or leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest from me, Nikki Kelly, you can follow me on Instagram at Wisdome Podcast, WISEDOME Podcast. I'm Nikki Kelly. Thanks again, and we'll catch up next time. Thank you.